Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And we are here. Our monthly visit from Leah. Good to have you in the studio, our cultural correspondent for the Center for Emerging Media.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be back.
It's good to have you here, and we're going to be talking about music and the fights for human rights and justice throughout the world and what music has done for these movements. And we'll be talking about that with two really interesting guests. Gay Adegbolola. Adegbolola, who was a founding member of the band Sapphire, still a singer, still an activist, still a teacher, out there fighting this fight. Yeah. Then Bernard Lafayette, one of the original SNCC Freedom Singers, will be with us as well. We'll be talking music, playing songs, talking about where the world is going. But first, we have to talk about where you're going and turn to see what's going on the roads and check traffic, and we'll be right back.
Support for WEAA is provided by the UPS Store, offering shipping and mailbox services. Information on store locations at upsstore.com.
Oh, yes. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And that was from Tahrir Square in Cairo.
That's what's happening now.
That the people are singing, making their own songs. It's a deep part of the movement in Egypt. Are the songs that are a combination of Euro-Arab hip-hop, traditional songs coming out of the Islamic, Christian, and Jewish culture of Egypt.
That's right.
It's just amazing. And by the way, just to tell you this before we jump into our show, that in our 6 o'clock hour, we start off with voices from Cairo. And what we're committing to here on this show is, and my producers don't know this yet, but they'll throw something at me later. No, we're just kidding. Is that every, as long as the people in Egypt are in the streets, we will put their voices on this show every day for at least a few minutes to hear what's going on in the streets of Egypt and Cairo and Alexandria. As long as those people are fighting for their freedom, the least we can do is put their voices on the air every day.
That's right. And they're really letting their voices heard. And I thought it was really interesting with this music, because what you hear in that is very also indicative of African-American folk music. You know, the call and response. They're saying, we all with one hand requested one thing. Just leave.
Hosni Mubarak.
That's right.
Leave. So, Leah?
Mark.
Good to see you, baby.
It's good to see you too, sweetheart.
And we have a really interesting show today. We're starting off with a woman who I've never met, but whose music I have listened to when she was part of Sapphire.
The Uppity Blues Women. That's right.
Gay Adegbolola is still a singer, activist, and teacher, and has an incredible website. And Gay, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad
to be Gay.
Here. Hi.
And Gay will actually be with us May 11th. At the Public Justice Center's celebration of their 25th year. She'll be one of the amazing singers going on May 11th, and we're really looking forward to Gay being here.
I am looking forward to it, too. I've even written a couple of new songs for the occasion.
All right.
All right, so premiering at Goucher College, Crawshaw Auditorium, Gay Adegbolola's new music.
Right. New music.
Yeah, we get to sing together for the first time.
Oh, really?
Gay, huh? That's
very
right.
Cool.
Leah and I have not met each other yet, but we've been, she's been my Shiro, and I think I've been hers.
Oh, she's definitely been my Shiro.
We are really looking forward. Right. I don't know if I'm more excited about the actual event or if I'm more excited about meeting Leah.
We've even crossed in countries. It's really interesting how our world has gone.
Well, you got to go where you got to go.
You know that's right, girl.
No, I was looking at your website, Gay. Okay? It's a beautiful website. Those pictures, it really is.
She's stunning.
You are stunning. So let's begin with a piece of yours, and then I want to talk with the two of you about the power that music plays in the role of changing our societies and the fight for freedom, the role that's always played from forever, really, way before the Civil Rights Movement.
Okay.
So let's hear cut number four, if we can.
Cut number four. I have no idea what cut
Queer Blues.
Queer Blues.
I thought that's cut number one.
Yeah, but it's different on our list.
On my list. Okay. All right.
Queer Blues is autobiographical.
Okay, that's great.
All right.
I got it. Here we go.
Ever since the day I was born, I knew I was not the same as the other little girls in my neighborhood who laughed and called me names. You know, I didn't like dolls, I didn't like dresses, my shame turned into fear. But now times have changed and I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
A little New Orleans thing going on there.
Yeah, well, the song goes on to tell about how I was a teenager and I was promiscuous, and then I got married and I had a child, and all the time I was living a life of dishonesty. And when I came around to saying who I was, then people need to get over it. You know, people just need to love me as I am, and that's what the song is about. It's about my personal social justice.
Mm-hmm. Gay, you've traveled all over the world with Sapphire and also as a solo artist. How have you seen the impact of music? I mean, because some of your messages are not easy, if you know what I mean. For me, it seems...
Most of the things that I write have a little bit of humor in them. So the humor goes down quite easy.
Right.
It's like, I'm here now, I'm queer now, get over it. However, all over the world, when I'm sharing my music, my music is quite lyrical, and if the country that I'm in is not an English-speaking country, then it is a little bit difficult. But and then you just get into the groove. So hopefully my music has a groove to it that everybody can just shake their butts to all together and get over.
Some of us more significantly than others.
Yeah, right. Significant just to be able to shake your butt on a Saturday. You know, that is purely social justice.
That's right. I agree.
Right. Uh-huh.
I was doing a lot of thinking about social justice and the movement and the fight for change. And as I was reading about some stuff, I was thinking about how this goes back, way back. From songs of like When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again in the Civil War,
yes,
to you know the songs of the abolitionists, No More Auction Block on Me, the songs that came, there were songs that helped forge a movement, and they actually, in some ways, as Martin Luther King once said, I think these protest songs, the songs of freedom, are songs that help galvanize and unify.
That's right,
movement.
Right, yeah. I was on a radio program yesterday. And we were talking about the Civil Rights Movement and a time in 1960 when I was picketing. And I told the announcer that for my mantra, however you want to say it, I used the last verse of the Battle Hymn of Republic. As he died to make men holy,
let us die
to make men free. And that refrain right there gave me the courage that I needed to stand up and protest. It wasn't an easy thing. Courage is not an easy thing to come by.
Right.
So if you can find whatever that might give you that strength, oftentimes it is in music, you know?
That's so true. I know that there are sometimes just a lyric, singing a lyric to yourself over and over again. That's right, gives you the courage. I know I would listen to my grandmother sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. Right. Over and over and over again in the kitchen. You know, this was before I knew it as a protest song. Mm-hmm. I knew it as my grandmother keeping going song.
Right.
You know, so these songs are not only very personal, but they're also very galvanizing as well.
Right. Right.
Let me open the phones here. Folks, join us. Leah Gilmore's in the house.
With Gay Adegbolola.
Yes, 410-319-8888. Later on the show, we'll be joined by Bernard Lafayette, one of the original co-founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Freedom Singers. He'll be joining us a little bit later. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're looking at music in our movements to change society and the role that music has played. And Sandy, you're on the air. Hi, Sandy. Welcome.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you? I miss you down in Annapolis. And we could have used some of that freedom music down there.
we'll be back, Sandy. You know that.
No doubt.
Sandy is actually an amazing activist around Baltimore and has started the founder of TransUnited.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the recent recipient of the James Baldwin Civil Rights Award.
That's right.
You
That's
were.
Right.
As was Leah.
Yeah, but...
Know, not to toot my own horn or anything, but... yeah, those songs, Leah, I see those songs. I catch that on MPT, PBS. And those songs, they really touch me in ways that I've never been touched before. Because I look at the, not only just, I listen to the songs, but I look at the things that our people were going through. When I saw them in those jails, locked down, and, you know, the things that they were going through, being attacked by the police and being attacked by people who were the opposers of dignity and true dignity and pride, you know, I'm so touched by it, you know, and I say, you know what, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around either, because there's one that plays on there that says, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around.
Really?
I'm gonna keep on walking.
Keep on talking.
I love it. And you know, when I get in my kitchen last night, I was fixing me something, and I'm just singing that song away. And I wasn't walking nowhere, but I was singing it away.
It's
very strong spiritual.
Now, the music is empowering.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Empowering.
It's perfect. Yes.
And a lot of times when you hear the music, you hear a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
And that's just to amplify your own heartbeat,
right,
and to give you courage to step on through whatever it is that you might be stepping through.
Right.
Well, sister, I'm gonna be playing some of that music soon. Really,
okay.
Soon,
that's a good thing.
We're taking on some people here from Baltimore City that just won't open their ears. Well, thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Roll, and I'll see Mark and Lee. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Let's play another little piece from Gay's music. Let's play, this is, let's see.
Let's play You Don't Have to Take It Like I Did.
Cut number 6.
Oh, okay.
I love that
Cut number 6 on our show. Here we go.
Okay.
You don't have to take it like I did, no. You don't have to take it like I did. No, you don't have to. No, you don't need to. No, you don't want to. No, you ain't got to. You don't have to take it like I did. Well, there was fire in his eyes and fire in his fist, but I had nowhere to go. Still a fire in his heart, left a bruise on my lips, and I could only pray some more. Lord, Lord, you don't have to take it like I did. No, you don't have to take it like I did. No, you don't have to. No, you don't need to. No, you don't want to. No, you ain't got to. You don't have to take it like I did. While he was angry at the world, he was angry at me, but the world was too big to fight. He was angry at the kids, said he'd never be free, and we had to stay there in fright. Yes, yes, you don't have to take it like I did. No, you don't have to take it like I did. No, you don't have to. No, you don't need to. No, you don't want to. No, you ain't got to. You don't have to take it like I did. I had nowhere to go.
Oh, nowhere to go.
I had nowhere to hide.
Oh, nowhere to hide. I had nowhere to run and nowhere to stay, but I'm here to tell you it's a brand new day. You don't have to take it like I did.
I'll tell you, Gabe, I'm sitting
here
doing this and,
take
and,
it like
and,
I did.
And Leah's got goosebumps.
Well, thank you. And the truth of the matter is, one generation ago, you know, and we're talking my generation, when a woman or when anyone, because men are often abused too.
Right.
When you are abused, back in my day, when I was a young adult, I didn't have resources. But now we've got resources, and now young people, young adults who are in abusive situations, they do have a phone number to call, and they can reach out. And I was that was just the point I was trying to make in that song.
It was a wonderful song, you know, but from a very African-American folk tradition.
Yes. And I was delighted I had Rory Block singing with me.
Oh, that's who that was. Oh, okay.
She was a producer, and Rory has just a great range, and she laid down two harmony parts, and I laid down one. There's another song that Sapphire does that's called 1-800-799-7233.
We have that.
It's on our Live and Uppity CD, and that is actually the phone number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And so, you know, we try to do, Leah, and I know you do this too, mm-hmm. but you try to put your activism in your music as best you can.
Oh, yes.
Without being overbearing. And without taking away from the groove too much.
Right.
Yeah. And music allows you to do that, though, you know.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
The one. There's so much more, Gay, that we can say in a song that we could never do just standing and lecturing.
Right.
Yeah. And music does have this power. You know, I was thinking about the music of, I don't know if we have any on here now. I think we do. We have some Public Enemy on here as well, but in our list today. But some of the newest protest music in the globe is hip-hop.
That's right.
Yes.
It has
that's
taken
right.
over. Mm-hmm. It's become the protest rhythm of young people
around the world.
In every country on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I agree with you.
And once again, where was that started? You know, it was created here by African-Americans right here, you know, in New York City, actually.
Right.
And I've been in France, and I've been, I'm sure, Gay, this is your experience as well. I've heard it in Dutch. I've heard hip-hop in all types of languages. I've heard Arabic hip-hop.
I was in Ghana 2 years ago, and watching TV, I saw a video of these young black men in Ghana standing on the corner rapping, and they all had on goose-down coats. they were in the coats that the rappers in the U.S.
wears about 95 degrees.
Like, why do they have these coats on in Ghana? Well, they're trying to be like Americans. And then, so needless to say, in my heart, they lost some of their validity. But I saw where they were coming from. You know, I saw the influence and the power of rap music. Yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing. My ex-husband was a manager for the Last Poets, and I don't know if you're
listening. Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if your listeners know about them, but we used to have a loft in New York City. It was called the East Wind, and the forefathers of rap are the Last Poets. So any rappers out there might want to check them out if they haven't already.
Yeah, there's something.
They were.
Yeah, definitely.
But one of the things that made me think of this was funny, that line in the Last Poet song about the revolution will not be televised. Remember that?
Right, exactly.
It is being televised now. You know, every day you can see
it
on the net.
Thank goodness a lot of it is televised, because that's how a lot of the civil rights movement came to the attention of the rest of the world.
And you were talking about Egypt, and it is televised.
It is televised.
That's right.
It is televised.
And I'm just riveted to it. Let us go back to the phones of 410-319-8888. Pardon my cough.
And mine, too.
And Daki, you're on the air.
Okay, how you doing?
Daki, how are you, man? It's been a long time. How are you?
Yeah, excellent job, excellent show.
Thank you.
One, I want to thank your guests for carrying on the tradition of African people, because I think one of the things when we talk about African music in the diaspora, you know, outside of the motherland, whether it's in America or in South America, or Brazil, Jamaica, wherever, and I think Bob Marley represents that well when he says, no matter where you come from, if you're a black man or woman, you're an African. If you know. And so so I think that what happens is there was a festival in 1977 in Lagos, Nigeria. And the Nigerian government paid for Africans to come back to Nigeria. And they compared the blues from the Mississippi Delta with
yes,
the core.
Yes, I know this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they compared recipes. I mean, the common denominator was that here in Africa, you know, you had similarities. And so we had folks who went from here. Like January Moses came from Baltimore in particular. And there were a lot of folks who went to the motherland, and I've been fortunate enough to go to Africa myself, having worked on the South Africa issue for some years. And I just want to affirm that the common denominator and the link is, no matter the difference in the language where the slave ship landed, whether it was in Russia or South America or the islands or America or whatever, there was this common denominator that Dr. Chance Williams, we did his book at Third World Press, and I'm almost through, called The Destruction of Black Civilization, Great Issues of a Race.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he did more than anything, being a student of Dr. Leo Hansberry, who was the uncle of Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote Raising the Sun, mm-hmm. was to show the common denominator of our people no matter where we went. And Dr. Chek Adedeye from Senegal did the same thing in the African Origin of Civilization,
right.
the Culture Unity of Africa. So I'm just saying that when we talk about African culture on this side of the waters, and culture means everything you do, the way you laugh, the way you cry, the way you marry, the way you grieve, the way you sing, the way you dance. And it's not just the Western category of what culture is, the mores and the like. And so I thank your guests for being carriers of the culture.
Thank you.
Be carriers of the ancestral spirits. And thank you, Mark, for having them.
Doc Key, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
I thank you so very much. And I like to think of myself as a contemporary griot. And I'm trying to just keep one slice of our history alive in the blues, in traditional blues. And I'm trying to keep our history alive in the music. So I truly appreciate your comments, and thank you.
It's so true. And like Gay, we actually just started an organization called Umoja Musica. Umoja meaning unity in Swahili. And what we use is the foundation of African American folk music, you know, the blues, the field hollers, the spirituals, to promote peace and justice and tolerance around the world. Because the fact is, this music speaks around the world. And I know, Gay, you've had this experience where you could be somewhere where no one speaks a word of English.
Right, exactly.
But if you sing Precious Lord or something of the like, our hearts talk to each other.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
We don't laugh in white. We don't cry in black. These emotions don't have colors, and that's
right.
what music does. And
right.
particularly the music that was created by the African diaspora has something very special there.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like emoji is something I need to know about.
Oh, we'll talk about it, Gay. Believe
okay,
me.
We will. Okay,
yes.
This Emoji Gaelic is an amazing combination of Celtic and African-American and African song wrapped together. It's a,
okay. And Gay will be actually performing with the group who make their U.S. debut here at May 11th at the concert at Goucher for the Public Justice Center.
And then another one May 14th?
At the Creative Alliance, our CD release party. So, Gay, you have to hang out some extra time and come sing with me.
So when is it? When is the CD release?
It's May 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we can find something for you to do with the interim. I'll cook for you, girl.
When you're as old as I am, it's really hard driving up 95.
I know that's right. No, when you're my age, it's really hard driving up 95.
Yeah, I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and it is hard. Yeah,
you got to do the D.C. thing.
Yeah, but it sounds like a good thing.
It's going to be a good thing.
Yes.
Let's go to another cut.
Okay.
I want people to hear Gay's
music.
Let's
hear the one she's talked about, the 1-800-799.
Oh, that's cut number seven. I'm sorry, cut number seven.
1-800-799-7233.
Yes.
Girlfriend, girlfriend, it's time for you to make a change. Girlfriend, girlfriend, it's time for you to make a change. Oh, every time I see you, your face has been rearranged. Oh, girlfriend, girlfriend, you need to stop making excuses. I say, girlfriend,
stop making excuses. Come take a look in the mirror and you'll see what abuse is. I say, girlfriend, how can he call it love? I can see the way he shows it is with a fist, a slap and a shove. Oh, you're still hoping he will change. You're hoping that your wounds will heal.
Mm. We were just saying, Gay, listen to your music. By the way, folks.
The last line of that portion says, but hope is a good breakfast. For supper, it's a terrible meal.
Oh. Mm. Well, there you go.
You know, your voice, we were just, Leah said to me, her voice is so different.
Oh, it's just from too much tequila.
There's nothing wrong with that. I've been there myself from time to time. But
notice my silence.
But you have
I'm just joking.
Your voice is reminiscent of Nina Simone's.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Thank you. That's my number one influence.
I'm sure. Very much so.
I've been so joyous. A few days ago, I was invited to participate at the Nina Simone World Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
In Tryon, North Carolina, which is her hometown.
When is that going to be?
That's going to be in September. I forget the exact dates, but I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be singing. And yes, she is my musical muse. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Definitely one of mine too. Definitely.
Yeah, sure. I have no doubt.
I just love Nina Simone.
Me too. How could you not? You know, we actually have a little Nina Simone too here. So.
We might, as we go to break in a minute, we may go to a little, go out with a little "Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood" by Nina Simone.
Yes.
It's such a wonderful piece. All of her songs are wonderful. I'm in love with the work. But you know, I was thinking about, we'll have Bernard Lafayette on here shortly, and I'll say this to him when he comes on. One of the things that Bernice Reagan said from the Freedom Singers, and of course went on to
Sweet
Honey
on
the
Rock
and her own work. Is that the Freedom Singers sang at every moment and every opportunity they had in the struggle in the South. It was constantly singing. I remember being in jail and being hosed down by the police while we were all in jail back in that period. And the response was started a couple of cells down, somebody singing. And instead of people backing away, they sang louder. And they said, the more you sing, the more we will shoot the hoses, and the louder people sung. Hmm. It was the power of that unity of that singing that allowed people to stand and face what they had to face.
Right.
Have you ever experienced that, Gay, yourself? You say that you were involved in the 60s in some way. What were your personal experiences with music and your own activism?
Oh, well, girl, you don't have enough time on this show. But in my hometown here in Fredericksburg, Virginia, during the summer of 1960, we sat in and we picketed. That was on the heels of the Greensboro, the A&T students sitting in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, the whole South was picketing and sitting in at the same chain stores. And, you know, if you hit people in their pocketbooks, their hearts will follow. So we hit them in the pocketbook, their hearts followed, and music was our whole soundtrack for our lives at the time. Later on, I got involved with the Black Power movement, and I came to, I hate to say this, but I came to denounce Dr. King and that whole philosophy, so that my soundtrack was Nina Simone with Backlash Blues.
Oh, yeah.
My soundtrack to living was Marvin Gaye singing What's Going On? Mother, Mother, there are far too many of you crying. Brother, Brother, there are far too many of you dying. When there was the draft, and on the front lines of Vietnam, they were all black soldiers. And so my tune changed, my songs changed, and my spirit changed.
But didn't Dr. King also, right before his death, his message became much more radical?
Right. And a lot of people believe that the reason why he was assassinated was because he had moved from just a racial position. But instead, you know, when he was picketing, when he was leading, spearheading the struggle in Memphis for the garbage workers, it was not just black garbage workers, it was all garbage workers. When he was in Chicago, Cicero, working for housing, it was for all people, rich and poor.
Right.
He was fighting the struggle
for the poor
for
people's
also.
Campaign.
Uh-huh. And so Dr. King was starting to speak out against the war in Vietnam, and all of a sudden, his whole demeanor, his whole leadership took on a different position than what it had been.
That's right.
This has really been a joy to have you with us.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to, I look forward to meeting when you come to Baltimore in May.
May 11th at Goucher College Public Justice Center celebration.
I'm truly looking forward, and thank you for having me.
And you will, folks, you can go to steinershow.org, and you can link. We will have a link there to Gay Adegbalola's site, so you can hear her music and see more about her. And we look forward to having you on the show sometime soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gay. Bye bye.
Folks, take a very brief break here. We're going to come right back with Bernard Lafayette, one of the founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and of the SNCC Freedom Singers. And he's now director of the Center for Nonviolence and Peace Studies at the University of Rhode Island, back where one of my producers is from. So stay with us. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And we continue our conversation about the power of music and song in the movements that have changed the way of life on planet Earth, with the Civil Rights Movement, the Abolition Movement, what's going on in Egypt today. Song surrounds them, pushes them, moves them, pushes the soul into them. We are joined now by Dr. Bernard Lafayette, who is one of the founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Freedom Singers with SNCC. He's now director of the Center for Nonviolence and Peace Studies at the University of Rhode Island, a civil rights activist, minister, educator, still struggling for peace and justice in this world. And Bernard Lafayette, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Yeah.
Do we have him there?
Hello, Dr. Lafayette, hi.
Welcome.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm well. Welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Bernard is pretty awesome. I traveled with you a couple years ago on the civil rights tour. And this is Leah Gilmore. Let me tell you,
good to hear you too. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm now at Emory University as a distinguished senior scholar at
Emory. Sorry,
oh, okay.
In Atlanta.
Yes, But I still maintain distinguished visiting scholar at the University of Rhode Island.
They couldn't let you go completely.
No, they could never let him go. A distinguished he is. Dr. Lafayette, we're really talking about, you know, the power of music and social justice, and your journey represents that so much, you know, as you were really one of the right-hand men of Dr. King during that time period. Can you tell us a little bit how music influenced not only Dr. King, but your walk?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am very much convinced that the music is the thing that makes any movement or revolution possible, because the music is a thing that brings people together in a way that nothing else does. For example, there are people who can listen to speeches that are very beautiful and eloquent, like Martin Luther King, you know, and many other spokesmen for the movement. But people can sing together In other words, people can make the statement in unity when they sing. So it's not simply listening to someone else make the statement, but we can make the statement together. And that brings the bonding, and that brings the strength to each other. And even people who say they can't carry a tune, that's okay, because the tune actually carries them.
Amen. Amen.
And that's an important thing, yes. And by the way, this is one of the things that we looked at when we were trying to determine where we should put our resources and where we should have the next movement. You know, we couldn't have movements everywhere at the same time. So there are places like Birmingham and Selma and Montgomery and other places. We looked at several factors. Among them was the unity of the people and the organizations and the groups. But one of the things we looked at was whether or not the people were singing their own songs.
Mm-hmm.
When you found a community that was really singing songs about their specific conditions and specific issues, then you knew that not only were they ready to be involved in the movement, but the movement was already involved in them.
Hmm.
Okay? Because mm-hmm. we're coming from outside. I remember one time Joan Baez came to Selma, Alabama in the early days, okay,
mm-hmm.
of 1963, actually. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting down singing on the steps of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And three little girls came up from the community, and they started singing. They didn't know who she was, but they started singing with her, and she had a guitar. And you can tell that something was going to happen. In fact, the song they were singing was that there was something deep in them, okay? And they were singing, "Freedom is the coming, and it won't be long. Freedom is a coming. Help me sing this song." So the music was already in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about Selma movement before it even happened. So I'm absolutely convinced that the music to the movement is like the blood that runs through the veins of a human being or organism or animal, yes.
And it's... I think especially the civil rights movement, the abolitionist movement, other movements that have fought for social change, part of that power of the song came from the spiritual base of those movements as well.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, because it came, you know, whether it just came out of the soul of people who were fighting for change and the belief they had, and it came out of that church experience. It came out of those similar experiences in other movements that kind of fueled the songs that fueled the movement.
Absolutely, and the music became the response to the brutality and the inhumanity that people experience. And, you know, this is why sometimes it's important for us to understand that music from any group is a way of articulating their aspirations, their goals, and their suffering. I admit, I used to have problems with hillbilly country music and all that kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
in Nashville. So, but when you're trying to study at night, you turn the stations on to get some music, and in Nashville, you had all those hillbilly stations. So I stopped and started listening to the lyrics, okay? And my goodness, I got in tune with them. They were talking about their problems and their issues and the suffering they experienced. You know, Ruby, don't take your love to town. Okay? That's not just country music. That's everybody. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And people talking about Big Jim Folsom, you know? And it's the rich who gets the glory. It's the poor who gets the blame. It's the same the whole world over. That's not a hillbilly song or a country song. That's all of our songs.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
So my point is, it transcends all cultures. And that's why they call it the universal language.
It's absolutely true. I mean, when you go to Appalachia and you go to where the miners are struggling, or when you go to meet the people who are fighting mountaintop removal and fighting to save their communities all through Appalachia, their singing comes from their churches and their country and western songs. And they sing just as people sang in the South fighting for civil rights.
That's right.
It's all there.
And
Absolutely. It's
so true.
Yeah.
Dr. Lafayette, as you've seen, because you've worked all around the world with peace movements and justice movements, that wherever you go, there is this common denominator of the song. You know, and we don't always have the music. You know, sometimes we have our feet in our hands and we stamp and we clap. But just recently I was in the north of Scotland and in a little church area listening to some shape note-esque singing. And it sounded like this stuff I grew up with going to North Carolina in a little Baptist church. You know, the moaning and the feeling and the welling of the pain and the joy coming from the same place. So with the civil rights movement, you were such an integral part of it. Basically, what we did was take slave songs, correct? And just
absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. We sure did. And for example, right now in Nigeria, where we have, by May, we will have trained 20,000 ex-militants, those who have laid down their weapons now and have gotten the nonviolence training.
Really?
Wow.
Giving them amnesty. Yes, that's what we've been doing this past 3 or 4 years.
Which we? Who's the we?
Well, it's group that we of trainers that we have. See, we have trained people in 22 centers around the world now, and they are people who are trainers who can help us train other people. And we've trained 3,000 trainers in Nigeria who help us.
And this
train
is nonviolence training, correct?
Yes, that's right, nonviolence training. And they've kept that, you know, there's a movement because they have created their own song. And you know what the song is?
What is it?
The song is that One More River to Cross.
Oh, yes. I know it.
Yes. This is down in the Niger River Delta. Okay, Niger Delta River area. Yeah. And so they are looking for a new future and a new way. And I am just so impressed. It's little known, but there needs to be a documentary story on that. I just do the training. I don't do documentaries. But somebody...
You do a lot, Bernard Lafayette. That's okay.
Dr. Lafayette, I just saw you 2 days ago on Maryland Public Television on PBS. So I know you do documentaries.
Yes.
It made me think... go ahead. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So they're saying, one more river to cross. One more river to cross, and we are from the Niger Delta. One more river to cross,
right.
And that means that they're singing their own songs. It means that their movement is in them. And I was expecting if we got 70% of them, you know, to really transform and not go back to violence, that would have been overwhelming success. That didn't happen. 100%, not one has gone back and picked up the weapons. Mm. The government now is offering them training and skills and that sort of thing. Their whole lives have been transformed. I'm just really impressed, you know, with what this can accomplish.
These are the stories we need to hear about.
They are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and this, as a man who's dedicated his life and still does to fighting for social change but also for nonviolence, that it must be doing your heart good. It's doing my heart good. It must be doing your heart to watch these hundreds of thousands of Egyptians staging peaceful protests to change their government. And people always said Arabs can never do it. Arabs will never have a nonviolent movement. And you're watching these people in the streets of Cairo. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. You know, and you talk about going back to the church music and stuff like that. Every time I sit and look at those people from Egypt, I think about the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt. And now... the Egyptians, okay?
That's right.
life
has a way of doing that.
There's a picture. We're going to try to get up on our website that my nephew Ben sent. I saw today on his Facebook page that a friend of his from Egypt sent, and that friend's going to be on our show. And the picture was in the middle of Tahrir Square. I got to just say this, so take 2 seconds. There's a picture of these two men in the demonstration, all these people around them, and they're being held on people's shoulders. One man on one side is holding up a Quran, and a man on the other side is holding up a Coptic cross.
All right.
And that is just such a beautiful – it says the whole story right there.
So, you know, freedom is a heck of a motivator.
It is.
And we see that. That's right.
And we played earlier in the show one of the songs that comes out of Egypt because they're also singing every day, all the time, in Tahrir Square. The songs are all over the square all the time.
Absolutely. we were just having a conversation today. I'm up at Mount Holyoke giving some lectures and that sort of thing on nonviolence. And we were just having a casual conversation, and they were talking about bullion and that sort of thing. You may be aware that one of the victims here, you know, the person was being bullied.
Oh, right, and, right.
Suicide, yes. Suppose we teach our children that one of the things they can do, because some people feel so helpless when they see other people being bullied, suppose we had a song that everybody would learn, and when someone starts bullying someone, we all break out in a chorus of singing. What would that do? Okay?
Mm. No, I love that idea.
Yeah, it would definitely shock the bully. Yes.
That's right. Because you don't have to get in an argument with
That's
people
right.
when you're singing. Okay? But you get your message across.
That's right.
That's the other thing about music, okay? There's no debate.
That's one of my favorite things about music.
Yeah.
You know what? When I think about, you know, the civil rights movement, and some of us, I was born a little bit after it all occurred, so I'm the direct recipient of all of your amazing work.
Oh, sure.
But what I was thinking, Dr. Lafayette, what do you think about the current musicians who are writing amazing protest songs? And why aren't they as visible in this scene now? I mean, we definitely have some severe injustices happening, but the music is still a little under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think this is what we need to do. We need to get the young people to start focusing on this as a movement. Because they, more than any of us, our generation, know how to communicate with each other, and they can spread the word, and it becomes infectious all over, okay? And I think that all we have to do is put the idea in their head, and they'll take it from there, just like they did Jenna down in Louisiana and other places. So that's how we can start the next movement and get them involved. They can do that. They're great mobilizers, okay?
It's true. And could you just tell us, for our listeners who, as we introduced you as one of the leading members and founders of Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Freedom Singers, talk about the birth of the Freedom Singers.
Well, actually, it was in Albany, Georgia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we had singing groups in the earlier days, like during the sit-ins, and we had a big concert at Carnegie Hall, and we had the Montgomery Trio, which is three young ladies who sang, and Guy Carawan was involved, and Moses Ash,
you know,
with Folk Way.
Right.
Yeah. Guy still sings.
There's some albums out now. They're not albums anymore now. We have
CDs.
And MP3s.
Not the LP.
Oh, but we know what they are.
Yeah, Folk Way in the Smithsonian Museum has those CDs now. They're available, you know, they're never out of print. And then there was the Nashville Quartet. That was a group that I was involved with. And Jim Bevel and James, Sam Collier, okay,
mm-hmm.
And Carter, Joseph Carter. And we sang at Carnegie Hall with Guy Carawan and Pete Seeger and all of them. Now, the SNCC Freedom Singers came out of the Albany movement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where you had, there were some great singers that came out of that group. And Cordell Regan was from Nashville, and he was one of the lead singers there, okay? And the Nesbitt brothers. And, of course, Dr. Bernice Reagan, okay? Uh-huh. And
mm-hmm.
Bernice Johnson Reagan. And that was the beginning. And the first debut they had was actually in Chicago, at the Area Crown Theater in Chicago. And we were doing a fundraising to get some of our SNCC workers out of jail, okay? And Paul Brooks, who was one of the leaders from Nashville as well, the American Baptist College, and that was the first appearance of the at Carnegie Hall, in not Carnegie Hall, but Area Crown Theater, McCormick Place in Chicago, McCormick
mm-hmm,
Place.
Mm-hmm.
That was where the Freedom Riders first sang, and of course Harry Belafonte was one of the major sponsors of that group, and they went all over the country and even sometimes abroad.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I remember well from that period and the songs, there's a song that always stuck in my head. It's still in my head. I should have given it to my producers to put on for today's show, but it was my fault that I left it sitting in my dining room table instead of bringing it with me to work today. Actually, we could have pulled it off the net, but I didn't think that way until the last second. But the song was Dog, Dog, Dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My dog, I love your dog, and your dog. That song... I just think about that song always. Just, I sing it all the time. It's still in my head, like it was the first day I heard it.
My goodness! Well, we started that song in the Nashville group, Nashville Quartet. That was one of our groups. Sang that.
And Dr. LaPierre has a beautiful voice.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he really. We were on the bus on our way to Montgomery, and I hear this voice start singing. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Mm. I went, oh my, because I'm half awake, and I'm thinking, wow, who is that singing, you know? And there he was up front.
Well, we really enjoy that. In fact, we went on a bus ride, some friends and relatives and everybody that were joining us, and we're going to Jackson, Mississippi. Mm. And it's going to be on the 21st of May. And we're just going to take one bus load down, and it'll be 21st and the 22nd of May. And those are, if you might be interested, I can give you my email. People might be interested in going,
Absolutely. No, I'd like to talk to you more about that, and we will. Okay. Dr. Bernal, this has been just an absolute treasure and joy to have you on the show with us, and an honor to have you. I hope you will join us again.
Well, thank you so much. Call me anytime. I enjoy visiting with you, okay?
Thank you. We've enjoyed visiting with you as well.
Take care. See you soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Bernard Lafayette, just one of the most amazing men in our world here. And we want to leave you with a little song. I see Leah's telling me what to do, and I'm listening to her. Leah's saying we should play...
The Staple Singers.
Cut number 10, which is Staple Singers' Freedom Highway. We can start that slowly under us, and Leah and I will say goodbye to you as that song plays, and then we'll let you just play that on into break. And Leah, this has always been a joy to have you on the air with me every month.
It is absolutely a joy for me as well. You know that. And I'm off for a little bit, but I will be back next month.
Next month, you'll go out of the country again for a little bit.
I leave for Scotland on Sunday, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks. But then I'm back.
All right.
You can't get rid of me, Mark Steiner.
Who wants to get rid of you? We leave you with the Staple Singers, Freedom Highway. And I'll be right back, and we'll take a little visit to Cairo and then to East Baltimore. So stay with us.